This is an iHeart podcast.
What a night tonight on I'm Right. We have Dinesh D'Souza here to talk about that peace deal. We're going to talk about government people maybe going to prison, government people getting fired, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right, there's about 1,000 things going on in the news we need to get to tonight, and we only have an hour to get to it. So I wanted to first focus right here at home. I wanted to talk about what's happening right now with Letitia James and possibly John Brennan and others, because there's a dangerous thing happening. I'm not quite sure how we fix it, but I'll explain what it is in a moment. Letitia James, as you're well aware, got indicted for mortgage fraud. I'll explain a little more in a moment. Here she was talking about it.
This is nothing more than a continuation of the president's desperate weaponization of our justice system. He is forcing federal law enforcement agencies to do his bidding, all because I did my job as the New York State Attorney General. These charges are baseless, and the president's own public statements make clear that his only goal is political retribution at any cost.
Okay. We'll get to the charges themselves in a moment. Just hang with me here. I have oftentimes compared where we're at right now with America's communists, America's Democrats, to the story of Dr. Frankenstein and his monster. If you've never read the book, that's fine. I actually thought it was kind of boring. But either way, if you've never read the book or seen the movies, this guy, by the way, the monster's name was not Frankenstein. The doctor's name was Frankenstein. And he essentially thought that he could create human life, patch together a bunch of body parts, and create human life. Ends up catching a couple breaks. This thing comes to life, and it's big, and it's mean. It's bad. And all of a sudden, he has created something that he doesn't have full control over anymore, and something that's terrible. Well, here's what has happened. And this has been 10 years in the making. We have to understand, it's actually probably a little older than that if you factor in Obama, but this is what has happened, and this is where we're at in the United States of America. For 10 years, we'll just stick with that number for now. For 10 years, the elite communists in our society, that would be Democrat politicians, members of the media, professors, these types, they have told the Democrat base over and over and over and over again that Donald Trump is the sum of all fears. That he, Nazi fascist, that he's all of these things, that he's the end of everything, authoritarian, this is it. Over and over and over again for 10 years. Listen, human beings, all of us, you and me and everyone else, we are all susceptible to propaganda. We are all affected by what goes into our eyes and what goes into our ears. It's human nature. But the Democrat is more of a herd animal anyway, less of a individual thinker, somebody who wants to be part of a herd. That person is 100 times as susceptible as you are to propaganda. So, 10 years, Nazi Hitler, Nazi Hitler, Nazi Hitler, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. 10 years. Here's what has happened. Now, doesn't matter far extreme, moderate, if you are an American Democrat, you do believe that you are living somehow under some authoritarian regime that's Adolf Hitler. And by the way, don't argue with it. Don't talk about how they're crazy. I know they're crazy. I know it doesn't make sense, but that's genuinely what they believe. As a result of that, well, politicians, all politicians forever, not just in our country, forever, people who have to earn votes to get elected, they are subject to the will of the people. They have to do things the voters want or they lose power. If you're an elite communist, Letitia James is a great example, but we could use any of them. You have programmed your herd animal base for 10 years to believe that they are living underneath Adolf Hitler and that anything, everything is acceptable in stopping Adolf Hitler. Now, Democrats want results. Democrats demand results. That is, in large part, why Donald Trump's 4 years out of power after he was president, why there were so many of these ridiculous sham lawsuits and arrests and mugshots. Because if you are a Democrat at any level now, any level, it doesn't matter if you're in the city council or running to be a United States senator or president, if you are a Democrat and you want to get elected, you know you need Democrat voters to vote for you, right? Of course, makes perfect sense. Democrat voters are demanding you have an answer for the Nazi. You have an answer for Donald Trump. Why did all these DAs, AGs, from Fannie Willis to Letitia James, why were they all so hell-bent on creating ridiculous charges in order to arrest and imprison Donald Trump? That's what Democrat voters demand. You can go look at every single poll out there. It shows the number one issue for Democrat voters with their politicians right now, number one on every single poll is, I want you to fight Trump even harder. You're not doing enough. Get Trump, get Trump, get Trump, get Trump. Which brings us, of course, to Letitia James. Why did she run on what she ran on? She ran on getting Trump. She campaigned on it, gave speeches on it. I'll get Trump. Why would she do that? That's what the voters demand. And then when she got elected, she chose to deliver for the people who put her in office. She even included photo ops. You remember that famous photo op of her sitting in court, smiling and smug as Donald Trump was getting raked over the coals in New York. She was responding to the will of her monster. She was responding to the will of the Democrat voter. And now that it's coming back on them, these communists are mortified.
I mean, this is something that everyone in America, or many people at least, if you're lucky enough to be able to buy a house in America, you deal with this, right? The federal government doesn't go after all of these people for doing this.
Okay, let's just clarify something here. That's just Casey Hunt, I don't know how to say her name. She actually interviewed me once a long time ago. She's just mortified that communists would be held to account for anything, so she's making up ridiculous lies about mortgage fraud. Maybe you're unaware of how this works. As someone who has had to move across the country multiple times, I am way too experienced at this. Let me explain. When you buy a new home, they will ask you, is this your primary residence, or is this something you're going to be renting out to other people? Why do they ask you that? Because if your home is going to be your primary residence, you are going to get different interest rates, different down payment requirements than if it is some secondary home you are renting out. So, if it's your primary residence, you have to say, and it's not as if it's a real head-scratching question, every mortgage application I've ever filled out, and I've filled out many, it couldn't be more clear, it couldn't be more black and white. And since I've never owned a second home and don't own a second home now, it was always very, very obvious, I have to fill out primary residence. It's not a, oh, whoops, my pen fell. No, it is a deliberate, deceptive act. And I've never done it in my life, and frankly, I've never even been tempted to do so. And it's not something everyone does, and the reason everyone doesn't do it is because it is so black and white. It is so cut and dry. Either you lied or you didn't. And contrary to what you're hearing on MSNBC, it is a big deal.
But look, this is serious. As you said, bank fraud carries a penalty of 30 years in prison. Not that a person convicted on a first offense would get that sentence, but it's an extremely serious use of the Justice Department to prosecute someone for what looks like a technical violation. And again, the ill-gotten gains alleged here, less than $19,000, under circumstances which we can all see are highly, highly questionable.
It's just $19,000 that, what's happening? Well, again, these people behaved like animals for 10 years. And now just the very thought that this is coming back on them, it's more than they can bear. That's why they're running to the camera every day, all day, complaining about the weaponization of the DOJ.
I don't know if we can trust what's coming out of the Department of Justice right now. And when you have an administration and individuals who are manipulating the justice system of America in that way, they best understand that this is not only about something that affects the individuals that they're targeting. This affects all of us who believe that, flawed though it may be, that a justice system is actually supposed to be blind in the way that it does its work, not targeting people because of who they are.
Let me say first, this week, this is a watershed moment in American history. Not since Watergate, Chris, have we seen a president weaponize the Justice Department to go after his political rivals.
They're not angry because the DOJ is going after Democrats who commit crimes. They're angry because they were told that Donald Trump had to be stopped at any cost, and he was never stopped. They're not even angry about all the malfeasance done by Tisha James and Jack Smith and Fannie Wilson. It doesn't anger them at all. They're angry that Hitler is still there and hasn't been stopped yet. And what's more, this world of make-believe they have created in the minds of the Democrat voter, in the mind of Frankenstein's monster, continues to be reinforced by the elite communists who use language like this.
It is just such a hallmark of tyrannical, autocratic dictatorship societies that they use the prosecutorial department as a political weapon. It is a disgrace, and every American, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, moderate, people should be forcefully rising up against this, speaking out against it, and making it clear how inimical this is to what our democracy has been for, stood for, you know, more than two centuries.
I don't know where this goes, because right now there appears to be no mechanism in place to take the Democrat voter, not the politicians and media people, to take the Democrat voter, bring them out of the world of make-believe, and turn down the temperature. Everything just keeps turning it up. I don't know where we go from here. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, before we move on and talk to Dinesh, Dinesh is going to talk about the hostages today. He's been targeted by Lawfare. Let me talk to you about your cell phone plan. You're paying too much. It's not just that Pure Talk shares your values. It's not just that Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile don't. Pure Talk saves you a fortune because Pure Talk doesn't put a store on every street corner. You pay for every one of those. Every Verizon store you drive by, every T-Mobile, all that overhead, you pay for it. How does Pure Talk get away with being on the same towers and charging you less? I pay half. Well, they don't do that. You'll get to deal with a pleasant American who speaks English. They'll treat you to whatever you want, whatever plan you want, whatever phone you want, or keep your phone. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
No matter how powerful you are, no matter how much money you think you may have, no one is above the law.
How'd that work out? Joining me now, somebody who knows just a little bit about Lawfare, Dinesh D'Souza. He's got a new film out, which we'll get to in a few, called The Dragon's Prophecy. Hey, Dinesh, nobody's above the law. That woman would never weaponize the Justice Department, that's for sure, right?
I mean, what is so delicious about this, Jesse, is not merely that the law has now come back to haunt her, but it's come back to haunt her kind of on the exact same subject, right? She was trying to get Trump on a real estate deal, on inflating the value of his assets. And now, guess what? She is kind of got her hand in the exact same cookie jar, and except that the case against her appears to be much more open and shut than it ever was against Trump.
Dinesh, talk about your experience with the Southern District of New York.
Well, I think for me, it was really a transformational because as I was sitting in a sort of a conference room with these attorneys, who are, by the way, completely in league with the Eric Holder Justice Department, I suddenly realized that for a very minor infraction, donating 20 grand of my own money to my longtime college friend, Wendy Long, if these guys could have locked me up for 10 years for doing that, they would have. And that's a sobering realization. You know, part of it is that it capsizes your previous understanding of American politics. I used to think of American politics as a kind of a debating society, the left, the right, each of us puts forward our ideas before the American people decide we're going to go this way or that way. And I realize the degree to which our politics has become gangsterized by the left and by the Democratic Party. And I didn't even know that my case was an opening salvo for so many other prosecutions and so much lawfare. You know, Carter Page, Papadopoulos, Michael Flynn, of course, later Trump himself. So looking back, it looks like my case, small as it was by itself, was the start of something much bigger.
Dinesh, before we start talking peace deal and Hamas and things like that, talk to me about the Dragon's Prophecy. Cool name, by the way.
Yeah, it's based upon an image in the book of Revelation. The dragon is, in fact, the devil. And the underlying theme of this film, a little different than my other films, by the way, is that there is a cosmic struggle between good and evil, between God and the devil, that's been going on since the beginning of time. And that the events we see in front of us, like October 7th, the war, now even the peace plan, they are part of this larger, you could call it moral and perhaps even biblical perspective. So my film draws on politics, but it also draws on biblical analysis and even biblical prophecy to situate the things happening right in front of our eyes in this kind of wide-angle perspective.
Let's talk about what happened today. Donald Trump had had quite a day on the world stage. Here he was, a little bit of it.
This is not only the end of a war. This is the end of an age of terror and death and the beginning of the age of faith and hope and of God. It's the start of a grand concord and lasting harmony for Israel and all the nations of what will soon be a truly magnificent region. I believe that so strongly. This is the historic dawn of a new Middle East. It's more obvious than ever that the productive and responsible nations of this region should not be enemies or adversaries. You should be partners and eventually even friends. And that's what's going to happen. I know it.
Dinesh, I try not to be too cynical. I can't help it with some of the things I see. And don't get me wrong, I'm happy, you know, hostages home. But I'm not hopeful there's going to be a lasting peace here. Am I wrong?
You are not wrong. In fact, if the Bible is to be believed, there will not be any ultimate settlement of those issues in that region really till the end of time. This is not to say that they can't be intermediate or penultimate progress. And I don't want to take anything away from the spectacular achievement of Trump here. We profile in my film a young woman, a young mom, whose husband was taken captive in Gaza. This is a woman named Lisha Miran. And, you know, her husband is back home now, and they have two little girls. And so I feel a personal sense of that, you know, joy in a family being brought together. So it is a momentous day. But I think you know as well as I do that quite apart even from the Bible, the underlying hatreds, not to mention the desire to push Israel out from the river to the sea, not to mention the global jihadis who wake up in Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Turkey and Iran every day, to them, this is a small part of the overall picture, which includes infiltrating Australia and Canada and Europe and the United States, setting up mosques and taking over school boards. They want 100 Ilhan Omars. That agenda, I must say, is going to march on and be somewhat more difficult to corral than getting the hostages home.
Dinesh, are we ever going to be able to get a handle on jihad. I mean, obviously, we've tried a lot, you know, 20 years of the global war on terror, and I realize bombing ISIS and all kinds of things we've done. Oh, that's fine. There's a lot of dead terrorists, but jihad continues apace, and it's just hard to figure out if this is one of those things that can be eradicated.
I think that we don't grasp it because we miss the spiritual dimensions to all this. Even anti-Semitism, if you try to think about it, you can explain it as a form of envy towards successful groups, and you've gone partway toward understanding it, but I think you haven't really grasped the full of it. I think the same with regard to jihad. You know, Trump is approaching this like a real estate guy. You know, he looks at Gaza, he goes, I see all this rubble. I don't see why we can't have nice buildings, maybe a Trump Tower, some cool restaurants, people going to work, high-tech companies, you know. So Trump, in a way, is saying, why wouldn't anyone take this better path that we're offering him? And the idea that people are serious when they say things like, we prefer death to life, we want to shed more blood, I've given 2 children to the war, I can't wait to sacrifice my other 3. All of this, I think, is for Trump. This is like speaking language from a different planet.
Where do people go see The Dragon's Prophecy, Dinesh?
It's streaming, it's in DVD, it's on a number of platforms, but a simple one-stop shop. Go to the website, The Dragons, plural, thedragonsprophecyfilm.com. Check it out.
Dinesh, my brother, thank you as always. I appreciate you very much. Yeah, it's something we've talked about before when it comes to Trump. He's so good at foreign policy, and he's so good at making these peace deals because he does. It looks exactly what Dinesh just said is what we've talked about. Looks at everything like a business decision. Hey, but why are we fighting? You could be making money and I'll be making money. But let's get a deal. We'll make money. We'll all have more money and we'll all have more stuff and we'll all be happy. And that is an extremely effective way to do foreign policy right up to the point where you run up against religious wars, religious extremists, because there are people, there are groups around the world that don't care about money. That's not what interests them. So, look, again, I don't want to pour cold water on it. It's a great day. Given the Peace Prize, whatever, it's a great day. Good for Donald Trump. Good for him for trying. Lasting peace? We'll wait and see on that. I want you to wait and see on something. I want you to wait and see what happens when you take a male vitality stack from Chalk or a female vitality stack for 90 days. These are natural herbal supplements. Our testosterone is under attack. Our energy is under attack. Our minds are under attack with all the filth and the waters and everything else. We have to do something to combat it. But we don't need needles in our arms. Don't need pill bottles. Naturally. What's the solution? Male Vitality Stack. I have taken it every single day for over 3 years. I think I'm at almost 4 years now. I will never stop. I love Chalk so much. They share my values. They promote my values. And more than anything, they make me feel good. I'm in a good mood, full of energy and pep. Chalk.com/JesseTV. Go get a subscription. We'll be back. Let's talk about something great. Something great. Before we get to Ned Ryan, and in fact, I'm going to ask him about some of this, the government shutdown continues. And it looks like right now it's going to continue for quite some time. How long? I don't know. I say that it could end tomorrow. But the thing is, right now, the GOP is starting to get some things they want. Democrats don't appear to be gaining much ground on this. And they're not gaining any ground politically. The polls are showing that Democrats are, in fact, losing ground. The American people are correctly blaming Democrats for the continued shutdown. Okay, so wouldn't it make sense if you're an elected Democrat, just open the government back up? If it's a losing issue for you, get off that issue and move on. But Democrats have all kinds of losing issues right now, and they are held hostage by their base and cannot move on. In fact, this is something I talked about a bit in the opening, but this is a little bit of a different way. Their base is demanding. The rabid animals that make up the Democrat base, they are demanding a win of some kind. Get Trump, get us something, give us something. They're demanding it. But as long as the polls continue the way they are, Republicans just have precious little incentive to actually give them anything. It's got to be a hard life right now being a Democrat politician, and doesn't that feel good to say that? So, where are we at? Here's Mr. President.
Russell Vogt said the reductions in force have begun related to this shutdown. How many layoffs have you authorized for this first round, and from which agencies?
And it would be Democrat-oriented, because we figure, you know, they started this thing, so they should be Democrat-oriented. It'll be a lot, and we'll announce the numbers over the next couple of days, but it'll be a lot of people, all because of the Democrats.
Okay. Well, it hasn't been a lot so far, to be fair. It's been 4,000. Remember, the federal government is, and I can't even believe I'm going to say this, I just can't even believe this is where we are. The United States federal government is the largest employer in the United States of America. If you had told the founders that one day their limited federal government would be the largest employer, they would have just handed the country back to the British. Be that as it may, it's the largest employer in the United States of America, and so 4,000 people is not a lot. It's a pimple on an elephant's butt. It's not a lot. It's probably a shot across the bow. J.D. Vance says more coming.
The longer it goes on, Maria, the more significant they're going to be. If you remember, we went 9 days before announcing any significant layoffs. Again, the President of the United States wanted to reopen the government. He was trying to work with Democrats in order to make that happen. But the longer this goes on, the deeper the cuts are going to be. And Maria, to be clear, some of these cuts are going to be painful. This is not a situation that we relish. This is not something that we're looking forward to. But the Democrats have dealt us a pretty difficult set of cards. We're trying to do the best that we can with the shutdown situation that Chuck Schumer has left us.
Right. Let's be clear about this. J.D. Vance loves cutting government jobs. That is the public line they have chosen to go with. He's just messaging there. J.D. Vance, I promise you, is not sitting at home crying because some dirtball federal bureaucrats got fired. That's the kind of message you have to sell. Hey, we don't want to do it, but you're force in my hand. So that's where we're at. Now, the Democrats were at least partially banking on one thing, the troops. You know as well as I do, the Democrat Party, they're not un-American. They are anti-American. It has become the party that thinks America sucks. Their base thinks America sucks. They campaign on it all the time. This is what they believe. Sorry, your dad's Democrat Party's gone. But they also know you can't advertise that. And when necessary, you have to talk about the troops. And during a shutdown, the troops don't get paid. Looks like Donald Trump found a loophole which is going to allow him to get the troops paid, which brings us right back to the bind Democrats are currently in. If the troops are getting paid and government bureaucrats are getting fired, why would Republicans come to the negotiating table? Chuck Schumer keeps throwing hissy fits.
So now we're in a government shutdown. And you may be asking yourself, how the hell did we get here? Donald Trump and the Republican Party are hell-bent on taking health care away from 60 million people, closing community clinics, rural hospitals, nursing homes, all so they can keep giving tax breaks to their billionaire friends. It's a disgrace. So Democrats have three words for this. No fucking way. It's literally life or death.
Of course, he had to throw in the cuss word there. This is something Democrats do all the time now. It drives me crazy. But I had to throw in the cuss word there. They're in trouble. I am loving every second of it. We don't have many times in politics where you and I get to sit back and smile and enjoy. But this is one of those times. I guess we shall see where it goes. Now, I want to talk to you about something. By the way, we're going to go to Ned Ryan in a moment. He knows all about the administrative state. What they're going to be cutting. We'll talk to Ned about that in just a moment. But before we go talk to Ned, I want to talk to you about fat. And I'm not discussing the feminist movement. Good fat. We have been taught that fat is somehow evil and terrible. But no, that's because all this processed oils and vegetable oils and canola oils are full of all this horrible filth, and it's terrible for us. But real natural fat, is good, full of flavor, and you'll know it when you try it. We have, you know how terrible I eat, we have gone to exclusively beef tallow in our house. Golden age fats. It's beef tallow. See, beef tallow is delicious and it's good for you. Remember what McDonald's fries tasted like back in the 90s? Why do you think they tasted like that? Start using this in your house. You'll never go back and you feel so much better afterwards. You want to save a bunch of money? GoldenAgeFats.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why are these firings necessary?
Well, I just think it shows the different priorities of Democrats and Republicans in the midst of these shutdowns. You really have to ask yourself, who do we care more about? Federal bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., or low-income women getting the food benefits they deserve, our troops getting the payment they need, flood insurance across the Southeast in the midst of hurricane season?
But laying people off is a priority?
We have to lay off some federal workers. Kristen, if you would let me finish. We have to lay off some federal workers in the midst of this shutdown to preserve the essential benefits for the American people that the government does provide. So okay. We don't want to be in this situation. We don't want to be laying off federal workers, but the Democrats have shut down the government. They have forced us to choose between American citizens and federal bureaucrats. We're choosing the benefits, the critical services that benefit our American citizens.
Well, I mean, JD's going to have to speak for himself there. I understand why he has to message it, but I want to lay off federal workers, like millions of them. Joining me now, my buddy Ned Ryan, CEO of American Majority. All right, Ned, all joking aside and the complete elimination of entire agencies aside, which is what I want, can you explain, nerd out for us for a moment, why does it take a shutdown to finally fire some of these career leeches?
Well, I think they're taking the opportunity that's been afforded them, Jesse, and it's Democrats that have served up this opportunity. I'm in total agreement with you. They fired 4,000 federal bureaucrats in the last couple of days. That number's missing a few zeros. 40,000 doesn't even make me happy. 400,000, now we're starting to talk. And I understand how JD's having a message this. I get it. Great. Whatever. The fact of the matter is the federal bureaucrats are part of the administrative state. And I want to make this point for those listening. The administrative state is a backstop for Democrats when they lose elections to actually preserve Democrats' agenda. And so really what we're trying to do is remove that backstop from Democrats by devolving the administrative state, breaking it apart, and actually returning us back to a representative government so that elections do have real consequences, that we're not just elections come and go, presidential administrations come and go, and the state remains and these bureaucrats remain to actually be the ones making the decisions and doing the real governing. So I appreciate the opportunity we have, and I hope that Trump really unleashes Russ Boat, who's head of OMB, to go well above and beyond 4,000.
Ned, before we get to Russ and well above and beyond, can you explain, as the man responsible for American Leviathan, which was wonderful, by the way, can you explain how the federal government, how the bureaucracy serves as a backstop for when Democrats lose an election? What's that mean?
Because this is what was put in place 100 years ago with the rise of the administrative state, that the progressives really envisioned an educated elite, this ruling class, these bureaucrats, being separated out from politics, in which they thought politics was the corrupting force. They had to be separated out from it, and they had to be the ones doing the real governing and the real decision making, using applied science to make better decisions for the American people, to lead to greater progress, to lead us to an enlightened state to the end of history. And so what has always been envisioned over the last 100 years, and I think it's becoming more and more apparent to the American people who's doing the real decision making, who's doing the real governing, it really was an attempt to remove politics out of the real governing of America so that elections really didn't have the consequences that they should have. And then the real power was to rest in the hands of these educated elite, these unelected bureaucrats. That was what was always envisioned, Jesse. And really, when you realize Democrats are aligned and allied with this administrative state bureaucracy, Democrats don't always have to win elections, because until we actually dismantle this bureaucracy, a lot of the decisions made by these bureaucrats are simpatico with the Democratic Party today.
Which brings me to where we are right now, Ned. I like Russ Vogt a lot. He's very capable. He knows exactly what needs to be done. But as of this point in time, we're talking, what is it, 4,000 workers have been fired? That's about 1.5 million short. How do we increase that number?
Well, it's one of those things that Trump has to unleash him. And the other thing, too, that I got to tell you, Jesse, that's become very apparent. You and I know this, but it's becoming even more apparent. We've seen the enemy. And the enemy is us. And it's red state senators that have really started to throw some roadblocks in the way of Trump making rescissions in August through the end of the fiscal year and making some of the dramatic cuts that need to be made. And these red state senators who apparently don't have a backbone, don't have any guts or the moral fortitude to actually do what's necessary to restore representative government are really throwing a monkey wrench and trying to hit those brakes on what the Trump administration really does want to do. I will say this. I think Trump is going to give Russ more freedom to continue down this path. Because you're right, 4,000 to me is like a rounding error. The federal government of its own volition, outside of Trump, outside of Russ, has already deemed that there are 800,000 non-essential federal government employees. So when we say 4,000 is not the right number, 400,000 is more like it, I still think the real number is 800,000. And even more importantly, Jesse, those that remain need to be placed under the authority of our duly elected representatives, and that's not the case right now.
Okay, how do we make that the case, Ned? What is this? Is this an executive order? Is this a law? We have got to bring the administrative state to heel. I know I'm preaching to the choir. This is your baby here, right. But how do we bring it to heel? Let's assume we've only got three more years. You never know what life's going to happen in politics. How do we bring them to heel?
So a couple things. I still think there needs to be a case that goes all the way to the Supreme Court in which the Trump administration pushes the envelope and says, and most of the administrative state, for those listening, I want to remind them, most of this administrative state resides inside the Article II branch, the executive branch, of which the duly elected president is the head of it. And I want them to push a case to the Supreme Court to make a very definitive case in which they argue that the head of the executive branch, Donald Trump, has the ability to hire and fire whomever he pleases inside of the Article II executive branch, and push that to the Supreme Court and say, ultimately, it's up to whoever the president wants to have on his team inside the executive branch. And if they agree with him, if we can get that case, it'll probably take 18 months to 2 years, so we don't have a whole lot of time, get it to the Supreme Court, and they make the decision on behalf of Donald Trump and saying the executive has this power, then he becomes the demolition man. So I know that Russ has got a couple things that he's working on right now, but that to me is the definitive case. If we can get that to take place, Trump can start to fire hundreds of thousands of employees inside the executive branch. And even more so, Jesse, we have to literally implode buildings. After you're doing the firing, implode the Department of Education, HUD, all of these things, raise them to the ground so that it becomes even harder. Because I'm fully aware that we will not always have political power. We have to make their comeback path that much harder.
Yes. I haven't been in D.C. in ages. If we start raising buildings to the ground, I'm just going to go get an apartment there or something like that. That's just wonderful. All right, Ned, this shutdown, I know I'm going to ask you to be Nostradamus here, but I can't help but think back to, well, my entire 44 years on the planet watching Republicans cave and cave and cave and cave. I know we haven't seen anything like this yet, but it's hard to not think we're going to cave and give them something to end it. Am I wrong?
I think in this situation, Jesse, I hope that you and I are both wrong, because you and I are both of the same opinion, that given the chance to snatch victory, defeat from the jaws of victory, Republicans will do it almost every time. I think in this situation, though, the Trump administration, because they know it's at stake. I mean, this really is about, well, there's a couple different things, but the real important one is Democrats want to pay for health care for the illegal aliens, because they view them as the next, well, they view them as their power demographic. I want to remind people, this is about politics. This is about political power. This is about Democrats trying to take care of the illegal aliens that are already bringing them political power by including them in census. That obviously is apportionment of electoral votes and House seats, but also almost $3 trillion of federal funding was decided off the corrupt 2020 census number. So they want to keep the illegal aliens here, give them more social welfare benefits in hopes that somehow they can figure out how to political power in 2030 and include the illegal aliens in the count again to continue building on their political power. So I think Trump is going to hold firm. I think what they were able to do by paying the military and arranging for military to not be furloughed and not be able to, you know, have their pay pushed, I think that's removed one of the pressure points. I can see this going on for a few more weeks. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't think Trump's going to cave. And Trump is giving Republicans a backbone. I'm optimistic that we're going to win this one, and it's going to be Democrats that are caving on this issue. But they are fighting tooth and nail because they realize this is ultimately about trying to keep that power base of illegal aliens taken care of to lead to more political power for Democrats. So they realize this is existential for their political power. They also realize, I want to make this last point, Jesse, this is also about making sure that the Chuck Schumers of the world and other establishment folks aren't primaried in 2026 because progressives are demanding this of them. So Chuck Schumer and these guys are kind of in a box. I think they're in a between a rock and a hard place, and I'm not sure there's an easy way out for them.
All right. Let's shift gears and go a little bit more local here. Virginia. I would love Virginia to be a red state. It is purple at best. We have a gubernatorial race coming up, an AG race coming up. It's gotten all kinds of spicy. What could we be looking at here?
Well, a couple of things that need to be done, Jesse. First of all, in the long term, the reason that this is a purple state is there's about 250,000 more model Democrats and Republicans. We don't do partisan registration here. And there's about 339,000 more absentee ballot requests from model Democrats and Republicans. So the numbers are rigged against Republicans inside the state. However, Jay Jones and his techs have given us an opportunity. I'd be shocked if Jason Meares doesn't hold on as attorney general. You can see the poll numbers too tightening up at the lieutenant governor and gubernatorial race as well. You know, American Majority Action, or C4, we've been involved since June, actually before June, in 15 key House of Delegate races here. So if you were to ask me, it's 3 weeks from tomorrow where I think we would end up in Virginia. I think Meares holds on. I think it's going to be very, very close with the governor and lieutenant governor's race, but I'm quietly optimistic we can pick up the majority again in the House of Delegates, pick up two seats, and hold on to the other close ones. And that, to me, right now, because the numbers are so bad for us here in Virginia, I'd be okay with those results.
I'll take it. Ned, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. All right. Lighten the mood. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And communists ruin everything, don't they? They ruin everything, and they ruin things you love. The NFL is actually a great example. I've told you this one before. I used to be that guy all 8 hours on Sunday, watch it. It's great. I don't watch anymore. You had to go Black Lives Matter. I don't watch anymore. And I could list a million things. Communists will take something cool, something awesome, and they'll ruin it. You know what I've always thought was cool? These haka dances. I know you've seen these before. You know, it's one of these New Zealand, Samoa, Hawaii type thing where the tribal peoples have these cool dances. I always thought that kind of seemed cool. It was like a cool tradition. But then, New Zealand has a bunch of dirty communists in their parliament too. And these things have become a way for communists to protest on behalf of the tribal peoples and all this other crap. And now every time I see one like this one here, I roll my eyes harder than the guy in charge did.
The guarantee was that would not be taking place. The House is suspended.
So sympathize with him. That's the same thing I do now. Here we go again. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.